Well, greetings, everyone. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us. We've got a great show lined up for you. Tonight's message entitled The False Divinic Messiah Doctrine. Got Robert joining me tonight here in the studios, and we're going to get into an in-depth discussion on the identity of a people upon the earth, Robert, that call themselves Jews and are not. And in this sense, Christianity has inherited a great lie. Deception,
yeah.
Robert, on top of deception.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, my heritage is not shrouded by these kind of lies.
Amen.
I think you can find my heritage through the Caucasus Mountains.
Amen.
Through the Carpathian Pass.
Amen.
I think from the age of even the capture of Assyria, which was their own brothers that just took the northern 10 tribes away.
Amen.
But unfortunately, they passed the Jews on down to Nebuchadnezzar. Is that anything like what you're saying there, Betty?
That's exactly what I'm saying, Robert. You know, the Bible says in Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, that the good fig, bad fig scenario. I mean, here we've got two different houses here.
By the same tree.
Amen.
Right.
And so we got a problem here. Major problem is this. How do we discern the good from the bad and separate the wheat from the tares? Ah, that's a $64 question, Robert, and that's why that most of Christianity today is blind to the fact of who is true and who is false. So it's a true-false scenario.
It's hard. You know, it's hard to go with Truth Network Radio, TNR, when you got CNN. That's everywhere.
Helping it out on
the
opposite.
Yeah.
And most everybody listens to CNN as the gospel.
Hey, that's an idea. Maybe we need Truth Network Radio. Well, I'm sorry. That's what we're on. What an oversight.
Yes, what an oversight. The world lays in deceit. Now, that's what the Bible said.
Yeah.
And here's the scenario, Robert. The false divinic Messiah promised through Christianity teaching, which is a false concept. We go back to an age where, just recently, that some of the rapture doctrine and some of the Jews or God's chosen people doctrine promoted by Schofield, among others.
He Schofield, was Schofield. The guy who made that gun that blew up in your face?
Yeah, that's him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
Well, it looks like his doctrine is blowing up, too, because in the last days, we're just talking about the revelation of the outpouring in the last days, where we're going to come into a flood. Now, the Bible specifically says, now, when it says all flesh, Robert, what's he talking about? It's not talking about all of the demonic, evil, corrupt, carnal flesh of man to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Only the righteous, burned again, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone people that are called by his name, sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost from the get-go, born from above, not again, as
all
the
right.
false conceptions
yeah.
are,
yeah,
that's the people that's going to walk in the new covenant, in the new kingdom age, and this false divinic covenant that God loves everybody has to be in error from the get-go.
Well, it kind of sounds like blah, blah, blah to me. In a way, it kind of sounds like we were in the garden, and all of a sudden we were living life in the garden, and all of a sudden we weren't.
All of a sudden we were expelled.
Yeah, but I did not see any changes in geography.
True.
Are we out of the garden? Are we really out of the garden, or are we just demised by realizing that the plants and the trees and all the things that live in them has no value to us today? That means nothing.
Air, earth, water, and fire is not in relationship to the divine covenant being to man.
And of course, when Gabriel presented himself to Daniel, when he said, hurt not the trees and the water, that meant nothing.
Absolutely. Well, we've got poison, chlorined water from fluoride, and Dr. Gary put me onto this. He said, Buddy, have you ever wondered where the vast storehouse of fluoride comes from? And I said, well, you know, really, I don't.
Metals,
I mean, somebody makes this stuff, Robert.
Metals and minerals, and if you get in contact
nuclear byproduct waste, and who owns all those rights to this nuclear fluoride waste?
Well,
the Jews.
Well,
God's chosen people.
But they still met on Mount Hermon. They still met on the Mount Hermon, according to the writings of Enoch. Satan and his fallen angels met on Mount Hermon, and at that time they decided that they would not go forth without an agreement that there would be mutual and total destruction on each of them.
They
went their separate way.
But those Orthodox Jews are up there banging their head on the wall that they assume was the great temple of Solomon, and yet the Bible identifies it.
Who cares? It gives them something to do.
Well, it's not going to. I just hope it don't hurt the rock.
I don't think it will.
Okay. Let them keep bumping, huh?
Gives them something to do.
Well, Robert, the question comes up in the Davidic covenant of the false Messiah. Where is it written in the scriptures that Almighty God is going to dwell in a piece of stone, a four-wall establishment?
A piece of stone?
Yeah, you know, I mean, inside the walls of the, you know, the walls of the great cathedrals of shame, of the bellbox mentalities, people flocking to them, herding to them. And doesn't the Bible say that my people love a lie? That they like to be stroked in corrective Judeo-political correctness? And today we're having an election across the country, Robert, and we believe we've got a choice. Get real.
I didn't know about an election.
Oh, yeah, we've got an election coming up today. You know, I mean, we've got candidates. And these candidates are in the position to make our future political decisions, and we're voting to send them to a free Congress, a free Senate, where when they get there, all of the PAC money, all of the bribery money is waiting lucrative.
Well,
Robert, did you know that in Florida...
I have an argument against the word PAC money.
Oh, PAC.
Yeah, the word PAC money brings up a memory that goes all the way back to BCCI, back in the early 70s, all the way through the worst things that this planet's ever really seen. And that is, this white man, known as the Ephraim, is drawn against the Shem.
Hey, the Shem?
The Shem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Shem.
Oh, okay. So PAC money would be people's, persons' accumulated control over the peoples of America, where we say we have a choice and a right to do certain things, and then in reality, we look, Robert, and...
in reality, what did we see?
He's waiting on the majority to give him, control, to, you know, authority to go into Iraq to get what? What is the wealth of the oil that Iraq is pumping?
The wealth of Iraq?
BCC, you say?
No, BCCI was the mechanism that connected us together.
Thanks.
Along with the CIA,
of Mother Nature, as they pump it out. When we've got technology that would make fossil fuels a thing of the past, it's just like getting out of a...
Well, come on, think about it.
Think?
Yes.
Are we supposed to think?
Yes. Kings tell presidents what to do.
Oh, kings.
Oh, yes.
Direct.
Yeah, you asked me one day, who tells me, or who tells Saddam Hussein what to do? Oil cartels or who? Well, I just immediately said oil cartels.
Oil cartels.
Well, the answer is no. Kings tell presidents what to do.
Amen. Amen.
And King Hussein. And
King
Jordan,
Hussein.
Yes, is the person who told Saddam Hussein what to do when Saddam Hussein was challenged by Bush in the most indignified method that I've ever heard.
Get your act together and let's play ball.
Yeah.
Let's make the stupid goyim, let's make them subject to our ever whim. Let's gather all the wealth for us and give them the scraps from the table. And let's put them under a very tight mortgage.
Oh, that's a weak
usury.
No, there's no challenge in that. And I've got a little Viking in me. I've got a little red-haired, green-eyed, freckled person in me.
I said,
there's no battle in that.
No battle?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
There's nothing to gain in that.
Well, what about a 1 or 2% control of the people of the earth with 97% of the wealth? Is that equalization, or is that having all things in communism? They want a socialist society.
I think that's a person that is pretty well positioned to think they found the strength in where they're at and haven't been scoped in on. To me, it looks like a setup of the beginning to begin with.
You mean a diabolical plot from the word go? Well, let's talk about that behind-the-scenes government.
Well, diabolical may mean that we must contrast everything into existence, even from the beginning. We did not know daylight from dark.
We didn't.
It's scrambling, buddy.
So the scrambled egg is about to be served up again. Mankind, his brain, his inability to think for himself. You said think a while ago. That's something that an Aryan Israelite is beyond doing. I mean, he thinks about the ball game schedules. He's concerned. You go out and just meet your average Joe on the street.
That's okay. They're nicely and neatly parked. There's absolutely nothing wrong with looking at another race's greatness. I mean, the black race is a great race. And
so they entertain.
Dignity,
they entertain.
With its own right.
We take the couch and they take the field. We get the potato chips and the Budweiser and become dumber.
Who cares as long as we go separate ways?
Yeah, who cares except our team wins?
Well, that's separate ways.
Separate ways.
And that's the way we're going to win this.
They
world.
Get the cash.
We go separate ways.
They pop the trash and get the cash.
That's
we get
right.
The mortgages and the usury payments monthly, and then we use the plastic to accumulate a 21% interest.
Well, I have a legal stance against that. I can say, yeah.
Okay. All right, the false divinic covenant. It is awesome to the degree of deception
yeah.
has come in, Robert. Let's peel back a certain layer and get into, we studied a little bit in this last night about the Illuminati beginnings, and some of the wise men put at the head of the wagon here to pull this train of thought.
That's a tough one.
Oh, we got Weisskopf. We've got Albert Pike.
We've got some of the greatest minds in front of this one.
Oh,
of all ages, and you can't overlook any of them.
Children of darkness wiser than the children of light.
How many are they counting on their side?
Well, I believe right now they think that they've got the whole scenario wrapped up, with an exception of a few, and they're working on them daily.
The fact is that in the beginning, yes, there was a voice. The voice came out in darkness.
Ah.
That voice came out and let there be light.
Ooh.
Ouch. I mean, think about it.
Light?
Well, then there came light.
When you raise a rock up, Robert, and a bug underneath, he's living in the darkness. What does he do? He scurries for the darkness, doesn't he?
Well,
darkness better than light.
Well, they're creatures of night.
Ah.
Then what would be a creature of night without the creature of light?
Oh, I see.
It takes one thing to make another.
Oh, I'll agree with that.
But on the face of this earth now, there are primal minds. Primal minds that would like to put knowledge back in the Dark Ages. The kind of Dark Ages that Constantine led this world into all the way up until that great beast, the one they call Napoleon.
Richard Barber?
Yeah, the one they call Napoleon that went through... I mean, he might have done some crimes, and he has to answer those crimes.
Amen.
I don't want to, but the thing that he did do is walk into Rome, and he ended the book known today as the Fox Book of Martyrs. It ended at Napoleon's final stand against Roman Catholicism.
So we're talking around the 1844 mark that we are going to write into a new contract here.
1596, 1798.
Okay, for the imprisonment of the Pope.
Well, there was two popes at the time.
Okay.
and one was, and both were taken prison, and one was executed.
So the prisoner became a pawn of the New World Order. And we have this.
In 1798, yes, he did.
Yes, he did. All right, here it is. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Robert, listen to me as I read. Behold, the days come, saith the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, Elohim, Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, Yahweh, hallelujah. There shall come a famine in the land, not for bread or water. I mean, we've got plenty of potato chips. We've got plenty of Coors Light. So let's party. Let's bet on our favorite ball game team, and you know who's playing ball here.
Well, I want to party with the person who had the most answers. That'd be the person I want to hang out with because they had the most stuff.
Okay, well then that means that you're going to elect, select, and then go down to a precious few. Straight as the way, and there's a gate, and a few. There be that have the answers to this. Dr. Gary was on WWCR. Brother Robert, Sunday night, and he was in the third chapter of the book of Genesis on the serpent seed and how they came into
existence. Number 15?
Yeah, the number 15 hit it real good.
All right.
Yeah, and so you see, when you feed the sheep the true meat, then if they are unskillful in the word and their own milk, well, then little lambs can't eat meat. And so then they have to go back in it because it's a famine. Not for bread and water, but for hearing the word of Yahweh.
I just have to say one thing. It's the white man that has failed to been weaned from the milk of its mother.
Amen. Amen.
We're the only species on the face of this earth that has failed to be weaned.
So we have failed to take the highest branch in the cedar and exalt.
I mean, it's the milk of the land. It's the milk and the honey. What are we looking for? What's the honey?
Yeah. What is the nectar of the honey of the truth of the matter? That means that straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and only a few come to the high echelon truth that is presented for the sheep.
That's America.
Amen. Amen. So then, Robert, let me ask you a question. Now, really think about this. This is a think before you respond question. Now, thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though you be little among the thousands of Judah. Now, let me give you the interpretation of the Paleo-Hebrew in that. But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, 65 miles as the crow flies, Robert, geographically speaking, above the place that they call Bethlehem Judea. We have Bethlehem Ephratah in the land of Ephraim, where Judah received, or...
No. Hey, buddy, if you're going to say the birth of the Messiah, man,
The birth of the Messiah. Where did he... This deception of the Jews making Christianity believe Christian
Christ.
Well,
you're saying yes, right?
Yes. I'm saying...
You're saying yes.
I'm saying that they
have...
You're
saying this to me?
I'm saying that they have deceived with a layer of deception that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judea. They have changed the geographic area.
Oh, yeah.
They have changed the genealogy areas.
Yes.
To have Christ to come out of Judah instead of Christ coming out of Ephraim.
Yeah.
The problem is destructive to the knowledge of those who believe a lie and be damned.
Yeah, but it's easy as walking to your bookcase now. If you have a world almanac, look for the gathering of a consensus of a consensus. I mean, the story is that... that a consensus was ordered to be done.
A consensus, okay.
Yes, which this consensus is a census.
A census,
the
right.
The fact
census.
Yes, there was no accounting that existed in that day in recorded modern history.
Okay.
It's neither removed, and if it's removed, then the Christians need to stand up and say why it isn't, because one of the things about that Christian movement is... It's the greatest defense that we have. The fact is that you're not standing on any truth, none whatsoever.
Well, I agree with that 100%. So what's the Well, let's go back to solutions. Now we've expounded on the problem here. Now the problem is again that the Jews have convinced the world. Let me reverse that.
It's okay. We got a lot of one or two listeners.
Christianity has convinced the world that the Jews are God's chosen people. The Jews have never said that.
Why should they? We have a question. This is in the studio with a very nice quiet.
Yeah, we got a little question here from one of our guests that's sitting here with us tonight. Okay, the question, you'll have to speak into the mic now so everybody can hear it.
Okay, so you say that you believe in Yahweh, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so what's the difference if he was born at what time as long as he was born?
Well, that's a good question. All right. Now, Robert, we can deal with that one. Now, that's a question that would be generally asked out here among all the others. So let's just bring it down to the playing field and back that around a little bit between us here and answer this question as in scriptural terms.
Well, and historical.
Historical.
Yes. Why don't we just go ahead and lay it to the mark?
All right.
I mean, 60 years, I think in 63 B.C., I forgot what king or ruler over Jerusalem ordered the death of all of the children under the age of two. That occurred once before the birth of Messiah. All right? That is indicating the simple fact that they are looking for birth signs.
Right on.
Birth signs that are based upon astrological things. Astrological things that are answered within, 12 tribes of, Israel, for example. It's the left ear.
Well, you know, that's probably a static interference with truth over the lines here. But anyway, let's deal a little bit more. Let's go in a little bit more depth to give her this answer here. That the question was, what difference does it make from what geographical area that he came from? Well, let me give you this. The geographical area would denote from, if you look at the tribes as they were positioned in land acquisition.
From Nimrod, even on forward, and from the 12 tribes of Israel based upon the drawing of the lot.
Exactly, the drawing of the lot. That's the question there, and that's the answer. The drawing of the lot. So the lot to Bethlehem, Judea, fell upon Judah. The lot to Ephraim fell in the birthright territory of northern Galilee. So the question is, was Christ, and this is expounded in the 8th chapter or the 7th chapter of the book of John, where in verse 30 they were questioning if he was a Nazarene or whether he was a Judite. And the question came down overwhelming that he was a Nazarene when they asked him directly. They concluded that he was a Nazarene.
They concluded.
Yes.
They concluded.
And he also gave them an indication that he was from the tribe of Ephraim by this statement, that his father Joseph and his mother Mary, and I put out a $1,000 issue challenge on the radio, WWCR Worldwide Shortwave and Truth Radio, hooked up around the world for the challenge of anyone that could prove that Christ was a Jew or Mary, Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, and no taker.
Well,
this is Pastor Buddy and Brother Robert. We're in a minute. We're going to be right back in a couple of minutes. You stay tuned, and we'll be right back with the rest of the story. Yahweh. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy, and you're sitting in here with us tonight on the Shepherd's Call. We're talking about the divinic deception of a false Messiah. Robert, in the book of Romans, chapter 11, it says that Israel would have a Messiah, not the Jews. So the Jews don't have one. And then the Christians come along and say, oh, well, yeah, we've got a Messiah. His name is Jesus. And the Jews won't accept him because they've been blind. Now, where'd that doctrine come from? Out of the 23rd chapter of the Christian church imagination by such false prophets as we've mentioned, Scofield.
Wow.
We could go back to Strong, that brought in a false name. And then
pretty
the
heavy,
Greek.
Buddy.
Yeah, this is heavy.
It is heavy.
Well, we're firing a big gun, and we're taking on
yeah.
challenges here tonight, Robert. And the challenge is this. Anybody that can prove that Christ was ever a Jew, he had one drop of the blood of Judah in him, and if the promise is not to Israel, not Judah, and the birthright son was to come out of Ephraim,
yes.
the promised child,
yes.
and so where have we got all this layered deception of the false divinic covenant that the Jews are God's chosen people and Christ was a Jew? This is garbage.
Well, yeah. But there's only two types of people at this day and age, buddy.
The fool and the foolier.
Well, that's pretty good.
The
I like
stupid
that.
And the stupider.
Well, that fits too.
The ignorant and the ignoranter.
All right. You can draw all the adjectives you want to draw.
Okay.
All right. But the fact is...
The blind and the blinder.
Yeah. What we look at is who are we in our identity of who we are.
Huh.
And when we look at... Who is our greatest enemy? It doesn't matter if it's CNN. It doesn't matter what news broadcast it brings to us.
That's
if
true.
You don't know the scripture,
oh,
if you don't know the writings,
okay,
if you do not know the heritage,
okay,
that cannot be denied among any person. But the problem is, we're brought up in a world call it anything you want. I mean, for the most part, we call it Christianity.
Christianity.
But what that hides, Christianity is faced with one of the biggest phobias I've ever seen in my life.
No,
it's
man.
Called bibliophobia, of all things.
You got it.
Don't look beyond anything that's other than the Bible.
Yeah.
Because when you do, when you start associating true history with things that are recording in the Bible, you're going to find out that, Iraq... didn't raise its hand against America because, well, America is Iraq's brother. And that's a kick in the head.
Yeah.
Especially.
Especially what we're being told.
Yeah, we're told all this stuff about
Afghanistan. Yeah.
Everything is against us.
Osama bin Laden, he's out the news.
Yeah.
We've got Afghanistan. We're digging the pipes.
Yeah,
we got to have Iraq now, right?
Well, we need Iraq.
Yeah, we got to have
Iraq. We need Iraq now. If there's anybody out there.
Billions of dollars in the coffers of the few to engage the mortgages of the many who are now slaves to the oil cartels, the usury cartels.
Oil cartels. But I tell you what, oil cartels do not tell kings what to do.
It is the kings that run the oil cartels. And behind the scene,
oh,
let's
yes,
talk about
is.
The 13.
Yes, it is a king.
Yeah, it is a king.
And if you got a name in front of your name, it's called king. You're king.
Amen.
Kings tell presidents
what
to
do.
Do.
And so then... Mr. Bush is getting all of his information from behind the veil. And Robert, what was
well,
the
no,
secret?
Well, no, it's only silent kings. Kings that are sitting by, not concerned about the foolishness of
You wouldn't declare here on national radio that Rothschild is a king.
What's your
Rothschild. Is
no,
he a king?
You're supposed to be co-hosting me here, buddy. I mean, you're not
supposed to say
that.
I'm going to bury you in the fatness of the olive oil right here tonight. I'm going to cook you good.
You might get by in the 1560s because you just walked into a war known as I'll Divide Germany into four parts.
Oh.
I mean, that is, you come in.
Well,
I mean,
the three amigos in World War II, was it not that the call was that now that we've got the
World
whole call?
World War II.
Yeah. We got the Holocaust, Robert, where that they said 6 million Jews gassed and burned when there wasn't even 6 million Jews in the world. No evidence to support this. The most was 300,000 or 400,000 people died, and we got 20 million Germans, Aryan, blonde, blue-eyed, that died by the result of a man named Eisenhower and Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and all these others that waged war against the Aryan Brothers of Germany, and yet nobody cries for the 20 million. We cry for the inflated 6 million, and we've got a Holocaust memorial built, and the Christians, the poor Christians that support the theory that the Jews are God's chosen people, Robert, and then we've got this sympathy kicker going when we ought to come back to reality.
Yeah, well, there is some reality that's called history. We can all look back into our families. We can all find sacrifices. We can all find graves.
Fox Book of Martyrs, you're saying?
Yeah.
$100 million there, Robert.
$100 million?
$100 million.
All of them didn't make it.
They didn't make it?
No. There had to be at least $600 million.
$600 million?
We have not 150,000 civilians that died in Bush's Holocaust against Iraq.
Oh, really? And shot the soldiers as they were arriving.
All right. I'm nobody. I'm a middle person.
You didn't write history.
I didn't write history.
You didn't get it close to CNN.
But if a king says it,
it is so.
It's so. I'm not a king. If I'm a king, it's time to let me know it.
All right, listen.
Meanwhile, back to the ranch, I'm not a king.
Let's,
and this is what I heard. 550,000 citizens lost their lives.
In Iraq. Civilian. Well, we know that they're close to
just
a million.
Because King Hussein told Saddam Hussein, don't raise a hand.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if this is information, if I'm away out there in left field, the best time to tell me is not the end of a 45 or even a 9mm.
Well, let's
I don't find that user-friendly.
Robert, you're a CEO. Can you agree with this? Now, let's look at the casualties of the wars today, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Let me give you some figures, and you comment on this. Merrill Lynch axed 17,400 employees and kept a stable of analysts who allegedly misled investors, and the reward at the top of the pyramid of Merrill Lynch, CEO David Komansky, made a whopping $42 million windfall, not to mention the $110 million plus in option he has yet to cash out.
Ah, he's a wimp. I could have done better than that and not done half as
well. Well, all right, let me give you this one then. Lucent Technologies.
AT&T, old partner.
56,000 workers posted a $17 billion loss in 2001 in a payoff.
No. When you're in court and you're looking at losses.
They give Chairman C. Henry Schelf, S-C-H-A-C-H-T, and you can determine who that is, a $22 million severance package just to keep his mouth shut and walk. Well, look at this. Citigroup. Now, you know who owns that, Robert.
Yeah, I've been paid for that one.
All right. They canned 7,600 and became the focus of massive ongoing conflict of interest investigation.
You think?
And Citigroup handed out to CEO Stanford Weill, another Jew, 46 million bonanza windfall, adding 360,000 for his use of planes, helicopters, and a limo that carried him away from the tower. And now
the tower?
The tower, the ivory tower.
The tower?
Listen to this one now. AT&T cut 10,000 jobs. They posted a loss of $6.8 billion, watched its stock tank and bailed out of the cable TV, and then gave CEO Michael Armstrong, another Jew, $25 million sweeteners such as free financial consulting, rides on corporate jets, and he's still laughing all the way to the bank carrying that toting a big sack of money.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's he going to go with?
These are the CEOs at the top of our American major infrastructure that has been dismantled systematically to a communist state of nothing more than a third
world. I'd like to hear what Paul Allen has to say about that.
Well, no, I don't know exactly. You think you might get a different take on that? Well, let me give you some tips.
No, I think I'd like to hear what Paul Allen has to say on that particular statement, because he's the fourth largest cable company operator in the world. And I think he knows who Robert Short is.
Okay, well...
Hello, Paul!
Let me give you this one. CEO pay at 896 public companies examined by the AFL-CIO jumped 7% last year as corporate profits of those firms plunged 35%. Now, what do we got going on here? A corporate deception, stock market investors, and then reap it at the top.
Yeah. The whole issue depends on the control of the next emerging technologies. The type of technologies that are capable of interfacing with the next future technology. So basically what we're getting is an old world of technology.
I see. Well, let me give you a national figure here.
1.4
million workers
that only makes
this year got pink slips. Okay. During the past 12 months, bringing the U.S. jobless rate to 6%, but in the cities, 146,000 jobs were lost in New York.
Yeah, well, now Hitler was accused of the same thing. Hitler was accused of people starving in the streets because he was unable to feed them. That's a cold statement. It doesn't matter who is blamed for it. It matters who is caused for it. And this type of monstrosities will not continue over the face of the earth. It
well,
will not do it.
I agree with
There's
you.
There's an end to that day, and that day has been here and gone.
Okay, we just got through with Enron. We're talking billions down the pipe of investors and... question is, are we systematically destroying the infrastructure with a president now at the helm and never mentioning all of these negative figures like the corporations? Bush himself is a result of corporate merger and reaping a windfall like he owned a great baseball team, the Texas Rangers. He sold it for a whopping, $565 million profit?
Dinner, lunch, eight?
I mean, we're talking about major bucks here. The corporations are the reaping of windfalls at the expense of the investors. And now with the,
the truth
you
is.
You can only clean the chicken so many times.
Yeah, buddy. The thing about it is you get to clean this chicken so many times that it won't give up, that you can clean it so many times that there's not even a bone to this chicken anymore.
I agree with that, brother.
This is one of the most scrapable chickens I've ever heard in my life.
Not even a bone for the picking. We can't even make chicken soup here, Ronnie. If we go over here...
We can make chicken soup.
Well, we're down to chicken soup here.
Yeah, but it's down to the Patriots.
Well, we're not down to any meat of this thing because the meat has been reaped by the corporation heads and the infrastructure of those who are... having to be
capable of manipulating, manipulating the signature, manipulating the belief, manipulating what we are building ourselves by. I see this great contribution to technology, or this great contribution to the convenience of even a kitchen.
A kitchen?
But the war machine continues to mongrel itself on.
And grind out. And the bodies of little 8-year-old Palestinian babies shot through and through.
Let's not forget to mention the Lebanese.
And all the horrendous crimes. Well, what about the blood that's been shed, righteous blood? Little children, all these horrible wars. We've mentioned not only hundreds of
thousands. Can it just go ahead and go away?
Yeah, we're down to the chicken. And now we're going to
go away.
Let me show you a scripture here, Robert. I've quoted this scripture many times, and this is the crux of the whole message here tonight. The Jews who have convinced us that they alone, now let's go back and establish the fact that the house of Israel and the house of Judah were two different houses.
Wow.
And the corporation promise of the 12 tribes was to inherit. And now that only one of those tribes have managed to squeeze in and out, and the blood of the blood-sucking varmints who call themselves Jews and are not, and we are being taken to the cleaners, and like you say, we're down to the skeleton of the chicken. No, nothing left on the bones except.
But we don't need them anymore.
You got it. I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant. Listen to this, Robert. Of this mystery, least you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, not Jew. The Jew is seeing, and Israel is blind. Any time that those who think that they're Gentiles wake up, and any time that we smell the coffee, is there any coffee left in the pot here, Rod?
Absolutely. All the coffee is left in the pot, because a Jew can't plant a garden.
Oh, you mean the earth won't reel to him?
No, he will not.
He's a vagabond in the earth.
You think?
So he heaps to himself treasures for the last day, silver and gold. He owns all that 3%. Out of that, 2% of the Jewish race own 97% of the wealth, American Express. I could go on and on.
Yeah, we got them cornered.
Yeah.
So what?
So I got us surrounded, and at least we know where they're at.
Well, that's really the way it really is.
Isn't that one
of Scripture?
You know,
I mean,
like,
if you look, I will deliver your enemy to your hand. I will put the sword.
I will give him a place of graves, that it will take 7 months of continual burial to bury him. You mean
but he will bury them.
Oh, that's a job for the undertaker, isn't it?
Is it?
And we're not.
It's a beast of the field.
Oh, we're not playing Halloween here. We're
no,
not going to.
I tell you what, let's just go in and open up the gates right now. The fact of the matter is, the beast of the field, you know, that beast that came on this land.
Yeah, amen.
That was caught up in slavery.
Amen.
That was not the white man's will.
That brought him here.
Someone else.
Yeah, the slave ships of Rhode Island, 125 loaded, flying the Jewish flag of
Red and Green. Finally, the Jews get out. We're not responsible for that.
And so then we've got a dilemma here in America. We've got a immigration problem. The border is wide open, and then we've got our congressmen and senators, and now the president will be running on this next.
Well, let's let all the racists
come in
right now.
Coming in for a party.
And
a farewell party?
And not bow down to any other race.
Oh, my. Well, I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know where, but I do know that the Bible says in the 38th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and the 39th chapter, Robert, let me close it out with this one. This is a real scripture, and you know what it says here in the removal of the captivity of those who come. Says, I will bring them, listen to this now. This
what?
Is
I have to.
Hooks in the jaws. You mean, Robert, you mean the Father has actually brought them over here?
Yes.
They shall ascend and come like a storm. They shall come like a cloud to cover the land, and it shall be in the latter days.
Yes.
Oh, you mean immigration borders of America?
That's not my prophecy.
That's the prophecy of the king. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
God. This is the king's
prophecy. I got another prophecy that gives him my shelter.
All right. Well, let me give you the 16th verse here.
I am the kingdom.
Amen. And thou shalt come up against, not for, they purposely, this is a diabolical plot of the divinic falsehood of those who say they're Jews and are not, but are liars. They shall come against my people, Israel. Judah. As a cloud to cover the land, it shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land. I'll bring you
absolutely
against my land, and that the heathen shall know that I am he when I am sanctified in them. Now, listen to this, Robert.
That's
and
a good one.
The seventh verse of the 39th book, where he says, I will bring them up on my land, and I will turn them back. And I will leave but the sixth part of them, and will cause them to come up from the north parts, and will bring them up on the mountains of the United States of America, and I will smite the bow out of their left hand. Ooh.
Oh, buddy.
I'll cause
buddy,
their
buddy,
arrows
buddy, buddy.
To fall in the right hand, and thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, and all the bands of the people that is with thee, and I will give you to the birds and the beasts of the field to be devoured, and upon the land you shall fall. I have spoken it, saith Yahweh.
Well, anybody that has studied that prophecy and has studied the visions of George Washington will understand that those two are very coincidental.
Well, amen. The prophecy of George Washington, wasn't it prophesied, that Albert Pike in the Morals and Dogmas that wrote in the Illuminati
Covenant, good things.
He says there's going to be 3 world wars to be decided, and then the Illuminati, the hidden agenda, will emerge and be at the top of the pyramid, and all support people underneath will support that or be eliminated from the planet. And wasn't it a couple of famous men that just got through saying that if didn't one of the princes of England say, I hope that I am reincarnated as a virus to kill all of the masses of ignorant poor people upon earth?
There was a man who was born in 1957 that walks the face of this earth, and his name is Osama bin Laden. He feels as though that the days that are numbered that led him to his date of birth are those that the days that were given to the one known as Muhammad by Gabriel.
No, Robert, you're opening up the Euphrates equation here, and we'll get into that tomorrow night, perhaps, Sideway. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Shepherd's Call. This is Pastor Buddy and Robert. We've been kicking around some of the things that are pertinent to what we believe is coming up here.
Let's do that tomorrow.
And the scenario that's coming down
the
path, Robert, is all good news for the kingdom people and those that dwell in it. Hold on, little flock, for the Father is not through. He has the last say, and as it says, he's coming up to bat in the ninth inning, and there's 2 out and 3 strikes on him. But he's going to hit a home run in the ninth, and we're going to pull it out by the skin of our teeth, as Job said, and then the righteous shall inherit the earth, all flesh, meaning all Israel, not all of the people of the earth. Yahweh bless. If you'd like to call me tonight, call me at area code 423-626-2172. You can write me at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824, or you can email Pastor Buddy here tonight. And you can do that immediately if you'd like to. That's Buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, at www.gup.net. That's all you need. And if you'd like to tune in tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time for the show, we'll be back on tonight with a little bit more of what's coming up in World War III. That's what we're going to talk about tomorrow night, Robert. World War III coming up. I see it on the agenda. The plate's been loaded up. The armament's been shipped out. And as you say, in the Euphrates region of Iraq, where we shall perhaps meet our Waterloo. Truth. And let's tell you about it. Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. We're talking about Miracle 2 and the products that support us. We need your help. Call us and tell us about your understanding about where we're coming from. We believe that the Jews are liars. They're not God's chosen people. We believe that Israel are the people of the planet that will inherit, the Jews. Judah, if you go to the Revelation chapter 2, they are very important. They play a very important part, and we have to have darkness to... You got it. They have to have darkness to contrast the light, Robert. We're coming into the light area of the last days of outpouring of the Aquarian Age, where the Father will pour out his blessing and his spirit upon all flesh. That's Israel. Not literally all flesh. You know, the beast of the field and all these other races out here that are systematically here for what he created them for. Natural brood beasts made to be taken and destroyed in the fire. That ain't his people. His people are called by his name, and they've got a covenant, and that's who we're talking about. Pastor Buddy, Shepherd's Call. I'll see you tomorrow night on Shepherd's Call, 8 o'clock. You be there. We'll meet you there. Yahweh bless you. Shalom. Thank you.
thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.